All right, welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 136 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, we'll be continuing our series on Watch and Pray. We started the series in episode 134. We talked about the different dimensions of what it means to watch. And I used Matthew chapter 26, verses 41 as my anchor scripture that says that the Spirit indeed says, watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray, lest you enter. In fact, there's a transition that says, lest you enter into temptation. So temptation is something that has a door. And if you don't want to walk through that door, you need to be watchful, which we've talked about in episodes 134 and 135. But you also need to pray. Because whether you like it or not, your spirit is willing. A child of God really yearns to do his will. But the flesh is fighting that battle. The flesh is saying, no, you're not going to be able to make it. I'm going to pull you down. That flesh is like, no, I'm going to pull you down. Yes, I know you want to do all these things. I know in your heart, you really desire to obey God. You really desire to honor him. Really desire to do his will, but no, I don't want that. I want you to cheat. I want you to fornicate. I want you to tell lies. I want you to steal. But for the spirits to win that battle, you need to be watching and you need to be praying. So if you haven't listened to 134 and 135, I strongly encourage you to listen to it. Today we'll be talking about the praying part of things, because you cannot watch and do no prayer. If you don't pray, both of those things are complementary to each other. One needs the other. So if you watch and not pray, you will fall into temptation. If you pray and you don't watch, you will fall into temptation. So why is prayer so important? Well, the first thing is that prayer helps you commune with God. Because there is a part of the Bible that says, without me, you can do nothing. And the thing is, you cannot resist temptation in your own strength. The only person that can help you, that can work within you to resist temptation is God. So when you commune with God, when you pray, you are communing with God. You are getting strength. The Bible says we should come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So in that time of need, the time of temptation is a time of need. It's a time where you need to say, devil, no. Jesus, yes. For you to say yes to Jesus, you need to have gone to the throne of grace. You go to that throne of grace. In the place of prayer, you receive from God. If you look at the life of Jesus, prayer was one of his secret weapons. Jesus prayed a lot. Even before he started his ministry, the Bible says that he prayed and he fasted for 40 days. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he knew that a big trial was ahead of him, what did he do? He was praying. Many times, early in the morning, before Jesus starts preaching to the multitudes, what did he do? He was praying. I'm telling you, prayer is a big key to your success as a child of God, to not falling into temptation as a child of God, right? It was a secret weapon for the Lord Jesus Christ. He prayed. He prayed. Because the thing is, prayer. So, number one thing I said is that, you know, when you pray, you commune with God. Number two, I said that it was the secret weapon of Jesus. Number three thing with prayer is that it is a source of strength. It's a source of strength. The Bible says those that wait upon the Lord, he will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like the eagle. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Think about it. When you run, you can't run forever. At some point, you'll get tired. When you walk, you can't walk forever. At some point, you'll get tired. You'll need to rest. That thing that will keep you going is that time you spent in prayer. Waiting on the Lord. How do you wait on God? You wait on God in the place of prayer and also in the place of fasting. But fasting is a different topic. We'll discuss that in the future. God willing, God giving us the opportunity, right? And then what's the fourth thing about prayer? Prayer is a source of guidance. Prayer can give you guidance. Look at Daniel and his three friends. When King Nebuchadnezzar issued a decree that, you know what? Since these wise men don't know the interpretation of this dream, go and kill all of them. What did they do? They prayed. They asked God for guidance. And the Bible says that at night, God ministered to Daniel. The Bible says that you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. So if you're like, man, I don't know what way to go in life. How do I know what way to? Should I go on the right? Should I go on the left? Then pray. God will give you guidance. Many people, instead of watching and praying, because watching and praying requires a lot of patience. But many people are not willing to be patient. No, they want to go ahead of God. That's the thing. That was the big thing that differentiated Saul from David. Saul, he wasn't patient. So instead of waiting to do things God's way, he decided to jump and make the sacrifice himself. And that ended his destiny. But David, when an enemy came and took their wives, took their children, took everything, normal human character is, oh, let me run and chase and get these people back. No. But the Bible says the first thing he did is that he inquired of the Lord. How do you think he inquired of the Lord? In the place of prayer. In the place of prayer. The thing is, when you pray, you're keeping yourself in tune with God. You're keeping yourself in tune with God. I'm telling you. And when you're in tune with God, when you're preaching on the same frequency, then God will go ahead of you and make everything work out well for your good. Now, what's the fifth thing with prayer? Prayer prepares you for what lies ahead. I'm telling you, whatever battles you think you faced in life, there are much bigger battles ahead of you. For you to be victorious in those battles, you need to pray. Sometimes when you pray, you actually may, some people think, oh, I'm praying for my current problems. No, sometimes you may actually be praying again, like praying for your future. I'm telling you, some of the things I enjoy in my life now are results of prayers that were made months, weeks, years ago. Right? So literally, prayer prepares you for what lies ahead. Jesus Christ knew what lay ahead of him. He knew that, man, I have to pray. I have to pray for me to be able to drink from this cup. Right? He trusted in God. Right? When you pray, you are telling God, God, I cannot do this on my own. God, seriously, I really need you. You really, really need to. You really, really need to help me. Now, what is the sixth thing that prayer can do? In the place of prayer, that's where you can obtain mercy. That's where you can be refreshed. Right? I'm telling you, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the Bible says that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and minds. So, you see people, when you're in a tough situation, the first place you should run to is not your friends. No, the first person you should run to is God. The Bible says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, tell God your problems. And then he says the peace of God. There are many times in life where I've been in very chaotic circumstances. And then I was like, I try. Oh, let me try to solve it. And I wasn't making any headway. But then I went and I prayed. And then you can just feel the Spirit of God putting that peace in your heart. The Bible says the peace of God that surpasses human understanding. Because it doesn't make any sense. Why does the Bible say surpasses human understanding? It doesn't make any sense to feel peaceful, to be at peace in the midst of chaos. Paul and Silas, they were in prison. The three Hebrew boys, they were about to be thrown into a fire. But they were so confident. Daniel was in the lion's den. He felt so confident. Why? Because he had the peace of God operating in his heart. That's something you can get in the place of prayer. And then the seventh and final thing I'll say about prayer is that prayer can trigger the move of God. Prayer can trigger the move of God on your behalf, right? Look at Elijah. If you look at the book of James chapter 5 verse 16, James 5 verse 16, it says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is effective. It's powerful. It has great result. But for you to get that great result, you need to actually do it, right? You need to be watching and praying. So I'm really praying for you all today that are listening to this podcast for the grace to watch and pray. And as you do that, you will not enter into temptation in the name of Jesus. Now, one of the most important prayers you can pray for yourself is that prayer of salvation, where you welcome the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. So if you want to do that today, I encourage you. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, or you were a child of God and you backslid, you notice that, man, I'm not living a life that pleases God. I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess that I'm a sinner. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. I believe you shed your blood and you died on the cross to set me free. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Strengthen me by your grace to do your will. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And Father, I pray for everyone listening to this podcast, including myself. Give us the grace to watch and pray. And as we do so, Lord, let us not enter into temptation. Have your way in us. Use us for your glory. And let all be well with us. For in Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Now, for those that said the prayer of salvation, congratulations, you're a child of God. I need you to do three things. Number one, find the Bible. Find the translation you understand. I really, really love the New Living Translation. Read it and do what it says. There are many good Bible plans. You know, pick one and follow through with it. But the Bible is something you want to make sure you're reading every single day. You can start from the book of John. It will tell you all about the love of God. Secondly, listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website. Episodes 96 to 101. Those podcasts are on the five basic responsibilities of a believer. Because there are things you need to do to grow in your walk with God. Those podcasts will guide you in the right direction. And then finally, I will encourage you, find a Bible-believing church. Notice I did not say find a church. I said find a Bible-believing church. A church that believes in the Word of God. A church that does not twist the Word of God. There are many churches like that these days. You want a place where you don't say, oh, because the world is now agreeing with XYZ beliefs, let's modify the Bible, let's modify our messages to fit that. No. So you want to go to a place where the true, pure, undiluted Word of God is preached. I attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God. It's a wonderful church, has many parishes all over the world. But there are also many great churches that you can plug yourself into. But fellowship with other believers, listen to episodes 96 to 101, spend time in the Word of God, obey His Word, keep watching, keep praying, keep communing with God, and all will be well with you. Thank you for listening to me tonight. Until the next podcast, have a wonderful rest of your day, and God bless you. Shalom.